If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Entertainmentweekly.com has published what they are calling a rom-com bracket. And it doesn't even freaking have When Harry Met Sally. Shippers, let's fix this.
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin J. Morris.
I'm Kelly Nugent.
I'm Patrick Ellers.
And I'm Ryan. I am very angry. I'm going to try to be nice because you guys are my friends. But
no,
I'm
fine.
Very disappointed in the roster as presented by Entertainment Weekly of the best rom-coms of all time.
The first thing that, I don't know that we need to address it, but...
But let's.
Entertainment Weekly's website is just EW.com, right?
It is, but I wanted to call them out by name because anyone was confused.
First and last.
Perfect.
First and last.
Mm-hmm. Put them on blast.
Yes. It's either, and here's the thing, because I've been thinking about this all day.
All your life, really?
I've been thinking about the ultimate rom-com my whole life, but I've been thinking about this list and the flaws therein all day. And I think I've gotten to some of it, and I think some of it is, because I made up my own notes. I have two pages of notes, including Mogi's mentions, which is a special section that I'll say at the end. But this, it's hard to choose rom-coms without letting your personal favorites get in the mix.
Yes.
So as much as I find many flaws in this bracket, which is a 32 film bracket.
Broken up by decade.
Exactly.
The 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and the 2010s.
Yes. And I think in each decade, there are issues that we can go through. But some of it is personal favorites. And I understand that. If I were the writer of such a bracket for a publication such as EW.com, I would probably sneak in some of my favorites to the 32.
Yeah. Sure.
You have to.
Sure.
I'd probably omit things. Like, right now, Hitch is not on here.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitch should be on here.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I'm not going to argue in my notes for Hitch to get added, because I don't actually care about it. But
it should be on here.
Yeah.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to go over the list as it is. We're going to fix it, and then we're going to run it ourselves.
Yes. This is ambitious, and I'm so excited about it.
I think should be apparent, just from listening to even a second of this show, that Ryan Mogi's got the reins on this one.
Yes. Listen, first of all, First of all, so what we usually do, if you guys want a little peek behind the curtain, is day of, we usually text our thread and say, does anyone have any hot topic ideas?
Right.
So I did that today. And hot take ideas. And Ryan was like, I do not have a topic, but I'm really upset about this and I could talk about it for hours. And then I didn't know that you meant you were going to send us something. I thought you meant that you were mad that I was asking about what.
No,
so I was like,
I thought the same thing. I'm not always like at my phone when the texts are going up.
No.
But this time I was. And that text was, I'm angry about this and I could talk about it for hours. And then minutes went by.
On my side is I saw this list. I got very mad. Then I was texting with you guys. And then, now this is another flaw. Because we also had mobile issues with this list.
It's not mobile friendly.
This is not made easy to send. So I was just trying to send it to you. At first, it was a link, and the link wasn't really working. I had trouble. I wanted to just send you guys an image of the bracket for you to open at your leisure.
Didn't want to give
it
them those
took
clicks.
About 90 seconds for me to figure out what I needed to do and send it.
It was 90 seconds of hell.
And then I had to send it again because it was not good enough. Kelly was couldn't see it.
I couldn't see it. It was too blurry. And then so I was like, on the verge of this discovery and just couldn't breach it because I was like, what the fuck is going on? I kept like, I restarted my internet to look at this stupid website and it didn't work. So I was like,
and meanwhile, the texts are
popping up.
That little number, it's becoming a 2-digit number. Now it's like 100 texts there and it's just Ryan.
Literally, I think it was literally 100.
No, I was at work, and at 11 a.m., I glanced down at my phone, and I had 110 text alerts. I thought, okay, every group text I've ever been in must be going on right now. No, it was all same-day shipping. And I appreciate you guys giving me the cliff notes at that point, because I was like, I can't go through 110.
Yeah, I did write up a nice little summary.
It was perfect, yeah. It was a one text, like, oh, great, this is all the info I need.
Okay, so... Oh. I think the best way to do this is just to dive in. But there are a couple thoughts that I think we have there's a couple things.
Okay.
One, the way they built this bracket, and I think we should stick in this confines because otherwise it might be too much, is they stuck with the last 4 decades.
Yes.
Now, no one in their right mind would argue that the rom-com began in 1980. That's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The rom-com began really with the film It Happened One Night. Clark, I'm not going to go through everyone. I promise. Patrick's already laughing at me. But it started with Clark Gable in an undershirt and It Happened One Night with Carol Lombard.
Why not Midsummer Night's Dream as the first rom-com?
Well, that's interesting that you brought it up. Because I think that that's an interesting pull.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the other elements of that story, that play, overwhelm the rom-communists. So to my mind, the other thing that we have to do is, we're defining it as in 1980s to now, and then we're also defining it, what is a rom-com? Because some of the things I would say on this list are not rom-coms, and there are glaring omissions that fit the formula perfectly. So I would say it's a comedy centered on a relationship.
A romantic relationship?
A romantic relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think the romantic relationship has to be the main thing. It cannot be a B plot or a C plot, which I'm a little upset about some of the picks EW thing. Because a lot of them I was like, this is not a rom-com.
No.
And this is only a rom-com because of rampant sexism.
Mm-hmm.
If this were a story about a man going through this thing, it would not be on here. It's just like how Ready Player One is not considered young adult when it should be. I'm done.
Okay. Please don't be done.
I'm not done. I'm just done screaming about that particular thing.
Okay. So
Kelly just sits on her hands for the next 50 minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to go through, once we fix the bracket, we'll do the matchups. So let's just go through.
Let's go through a decade at a time and just sort of let's hear a decade and then talk about it.
Okay. So the picks for the 1980s
are
Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, Coming to America, Mannequin, Some Kind of Wonderful, Moonstruck, Say Anything, and Princess Bride. Now, I will say, personally, as a fan of film, especially movies.
Keep going, keep going.
especially things that are on camera.
These are all quality films.
Are they all
rom-coms? No.
Romantic comedies.
One that I would say is almost off the bat not a rom-com is number one, Pretty in Pink. Pretty in Pink, are you guys familiar with this story?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She ends up with the wrong guy, and it's a drama. It's a class struggle drama.
I mean, we need to make room in the 1980s bracket for alts, right?
Yes.
So
I have some.
I mean, I would totally agree that Pretty in Pink, yank it out.
Okay. How do we feel about 16 Candles?
Now, 16 Candles, is that the one? Okay, can you? Because I get that
short
one
answers. Okay, so we have Molly Ringwald.
Yes,
16th birthday. Yes. Her sister is getting married the next day. But that night, there's
Jake
a dance.
Ryan?
Yep.
Okay.
That night, there's a dance. She goes to the dance. She has a crush on Jake Ryan, but he has a girlfriend. Then there's it's a wild, crazy night comedy. In the end, Jake Ryan finds out she has a crush on him. Then that kind of like makes him interested, fulfilling the fantasy of every teenage girl in the world. Hunky Jake Ryan picks her up from her sister's wedding. They're together. They kiss over a cake.
Does Ducky wear a cool
interesting.
Hat?
Interesting.
That is Pretty in Pink.
Okay.
So that's the whole. Yeah, that's the whole thing with Ducky.
Those two are like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and honestly, if I almost would say that if Molly Ringwald were to finish the film kissing Ducky, I may call it a romantic comedy relationship is fairly humorous. But the relationship that she has, and I know we already crossed off, but with Blaine, his name is literally Blaine, is very much
is he
a drama.
Blaine?
I'm sorry?
He could be like the proto Blaine for Blaine's being lame.
I think Blaine, I mean, come on, Blaine.
Blaine.
You're going to lay the blame on Blaine?
I think it's all Blaine's fault. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, okay. So 16 Candles is very much a comedy. It's some of the comedy has not aged. There's Long Duck Dong is in 16
not
Candles.
Good, not
so
good.
We could cross 16 Candles off if we wanted just for racism or if we wanted.
Yeah.
But it is a rom-com. It's not misplaced as being called. It's a rom-com. So okay. I don't have a problem with it being on the list, but I think that things like it's racism will
may,
get it.
May disqualify.
Yeah, it may lose. Yeah.
De facto.
And I would
I'm not into the racism personally.
Okay, then I'm
I
down
say it's got to go.
What are you talking right. about?
I just, you know.
All right, I'm down. We're going to make, and we're early in the thing, so we can start making moral choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Let's cut them both.
Okay. Coming to America. This is Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall. Eddie Murphy is a prince. He doesn't want to take over as king right away. He wants to have some life experiences. So he moves to America and has to deal with being a Black American, which is a much different experience than being a prince.
Right.
It has racial comedy, but it also has a strong romantic storyline.
Mm.
Now,
I like it.
This is a movie that I have not seen since watching it on Comedy Central.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that I remember there being a relationship in this movie.
There is. Just to answer your question, there
Thank
is
you.
Yes. Short answer.
And there is, I think, in I never thought of it as a romantic comedy before, but then when I started thinking about it, and when I first saw it on the list, I was like, I don't know about that, but it does have that formulaic, like, I'm like falling for you under some kind of weird false pretense.
Yes.
Oh no, what's the lie about? We're gonna misunderstand each other about what's the lie. We're not gonna talk. Oh, now I know that the truth is what it is, and I still like you. In fact, maybe I like you more, and now we're going to be together.
And we did talk about some gender issues earlier, and I think that if this was a switch gender, we would automatically call it a rom-com.
Absolutely.
Because it's a prince who's betrothed, who doesn't want to get married, runs away to another town, and falls in love with a commoner, which that's a very common trope in romantic comedy.
Yeah. So I'd say it is a romantic comedy.
Right, so we'll keep it.
Mannequin. Now,
okay.
It is... It's the story of a man who works at a department. Are you guys familiar with this?
Yes.
Okay.
In concept, I know that I've seen it.
Yeah.
I am more familiar with Mannequin 2.
On the Move.
Okay.
On the Move? Is that what it is? Yeah.
That's a hilarious name.
Mannequin 2 on the Move?
That is the best subtitle for a sequel since Back in the Habit. And I know that it technically came out before that, but I wasn't aware of it until just now.
Until our faces.
So
when we were just like, uh-huh. It is a good name.
Probably not a great film.
That being said, we are not talking about On the Move.
All right.
No, we're talking about Mannequin OG. And it is the story of a man who puts... A mannequin and a man who fall in love because the mannequin wears a special, I believe it's a necklace that makes her come alive at night. And then they have adventures.
Isn't she like, okay, am I thinking of Mannequin 2 or Mannequin, where she is an ancient person?
The magic is, I believe she is an Egyptian queen.
Yes, and there was a lightning strike that turned her into a mannequin.
Something like that.
That seems vaguely familiar.
She's like a white Egyptian queen.
So wait.
She's Kim Cattrall.
But her body's
the mannequin body.
So archaeologists dig up this.
Yeah, and then it gets treated like a costume jewelry.
Got it.
Wait.
Oh, so her soul like goes into the mannequin.
Yes, but we do see flashbacks, and it's Kim Cattrall in the flashbacks. But
okay,
it's yeah. So there is, guys. It was the '80s. There's going to be probably problematic elements in every one we talk about,
and into the '90s.
Yeah, unfortunately,
and to today,
and today,
and to the '80s, the '90s, and today.
Yes, it's the best of rock and racism.
So Mannequin. I don't think it would. I mean, I know people who love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
My bestie is one of them. And so I've rewatched it fairly recently with her, like in the last 10 years. It holds up as a rom-com. It is not, I wouldn't say it's like an exceptional one or a groundbreaking one.
And right now, that's, we also should think about the conference and the bracket. Right now, that's going toe-to-toe with Coming to America, which is staying in the race.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it an automatic?
I mean, I think it is like a, it's probably like a 14 seed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
not
right.
A,
if we're going on that, like if those two movies go head to head right now, I mean, I know what my pick is going to be.
Okay. Well, are you trying to, you're jumping at pretty far ahead.
I'm jumping ahead, but I'm saying like, if
so you're saying like keeping it is like a disservice to the bracket?
Well, we can. Here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that we keep it there. If when we are going back through to like put our additions in here, if we're like we need one more spot, then Mannequin's first on the chopping block.
Great.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I guess what my point was, I wasn't being concise. What I meant was, even if it is technically a rom-com, is it one of the
top eight
of the 1980s?
I also, here's,
not in my taste.
There are other movies too. Well, I know you have alts. Never mind. I'll wait on the alts.
Yeah, let's get through the 80s, then talk the alts, and we'll add them in.
This is going to take 4 hours.
No.
No, it's
the
not.
80s, the 90s is better. Like, the different, I mean, I do have a lot of alts, but I think this is the worst, easily the worst.
The 80s was the worst.
And it's the worst decade considering rom-com. It's not like rom-coms were dead in the 80s. People say rom-coms were dead in the 2000s, but like, there were good rom-coms in the 80s that are just being ignored. So, I mean, there's like four teen movies in the 80s that are being chosen. And that's just because people like teen movies in the 80s, not because they're the best rom-coms.
Right.
So the next one is one of my favorites, and I probably have done it as a ship, if not on the show, like in my personal life, because it's a favorite, is the film Some Kind of Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Does that title mean anything to you guys?
It's, I think you, I've Watts, heard you mention it.
With the girl, the Mary Stuart Masterson with the pixie cut, and she's a drummer. I'm looking at Colin because I feel like Colin would enjoy this woman.
What was it? Sorry. Wait, can you say it one more time? What is it called?
It's called Some Kind of Wonderful.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
It is another one, like Pretty in Pink, that is essentially a drama. It stars Eric Stoltz and Mary Stuart Masterson and Leah Thompson. Leah Thompson is like the beautiful popular girl. Eric Stoltz is like an angsty teen. He is an artist, but his dad wants him to go to college, but he wants to go to art school. And he's like a loser. And so is his best friend, Watts, who's a drummer and kind of non-binary, though they don't have terms like that at the time. So people are just mean to her. So they're best friends, but it's very angsty. And then as it kind of is a prank, the most popular girl in school accepts a date with Eric Stoltz, the main guy.
Okay.
And so he's like, well, I'm going to give her the best date. I'm going to prove to her that a guy from the wrong side of the tracks can do a good date. So he rents out an art gallery and puts up a painting of her in it. And he takes her out and he ends up like hiring his best friend to be a chauffeur. Meanwhile, the best friend is in love with him. It is not as wacky as I'm making it sound. It's very dramatic. Much. It's also like there's like a kiss in it that's like
hot,
very hot.
Mm. Nice. Because
Eric Stoltz is like, I'll be fine, and Mary Sue Masterson is like, can you deliver a kiss that kills? Which I was like, I wish I could have said that to someone. That's so bold.
So bold.
And she's like, can you deliver a kiss that kills? And he's like, no, I'll be fine. And she's like, okay, all right, fine. Yeah, you'll be good at kissing. What if when you kiss her, where are you gonna put your hands? And he's like, I don't know. Like, I get like on her shoulders or something. And she goes, no, you're gonna put them on her hips. So then she grabs his hands and she puts them on her hips.
Yes.
And then she's like, come on. She's like, I don't have to do this. And he's like, no, we'll do it. It's fine. And she's like, I'm doing you a favor, buddy. And he's like, oh, fine, whatever. So she's like, okay, so.
This is like a fanfic. Oh my God.
it's so fucking good. I can't wait to show you guys after this record.
So this one could stay, right?
It's romantic. The comedy part is weak. But so then he does kiss her. And the moment that is like. Too hot for television. Like, it was on TNT, but it was too much.
Ryan Mogi is just fanning out
my
shirt.
I'm fanning myself. Yeah. It's too much. Is like, so he kisses her, and she's kind of like, whoa. And she's sitting on they're working on a car. She's sitting on a bench, and so her legs are like near over his hips, and then she like wraps them around, and then his hands, which are covered in grease, because he's working on a car.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they were like placing her hips, and then they like clench. But he's like clenching his own hand instead of grabbing her because he doesn't want to grab her.
God. Oh my God.
And then she's like, oh, and then she like pushed him away. She's like, you got it, buddy. You're fine.
Oh,
he's like, no. It's so cute. I can't believe I haven't told you guys this before. Because he's like, and she's like, he's like, you're blushing. He's like, you're blushing. And she's like, yeah, right. Like the day I blush. And he's like, he goes, no, you're pretty. And she's like, ugh. See if I ever do you a favor.
Oh.
No, you're right. It's fanfic, but it's good.
Yeah, it's good. No, but that's a compliment. All right, that's a compliment.
It. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that was a criticism.
I was going to talk us out of it because it's not really a comedy. But guys,
let's just keep it. Let's just keep it.
All right, Moonstruck.
Okay, Moonstruck.
Are you guys familiar?
I've not seen Moonstruck, but I know the cover.
Okay.
So I haven't seen all of it.
I would say. Now, you guys know I'm a...
We need to do this like a political debate where we ding Mogi on her synopsis.
What is ding? You mean short enough?
Time is up.
Wow.
Moonstruck, the clock has begun.
Tell me about Moonstruck, Colin.
No, please, go on.
No sooner does Italian-American widow Loretta accept a marriage proposal from her adultish boyfriend, Johnny, than she finds herself falling for his younger brother, Ronnie.
Does it say who plays Ronnie? Guess if you don't know.
Rob Lowe.
Yep.
No, hotter.
Really?
No,
hotter, and he only has one hand.
IRL?
The character. It's
the drummer from Def Leppard?
Captain Hook?
He is so hot in this movie.
He is filled with the rage of a thousand suns. And his hand was burned off because his brother distracted him when he was putting his hand in a fire. And so he blames his brother for not having a hand.
Hotter than the hound.
Hotter than the hound.
Here's the thing. I would love if the hound just like destroyed me. How would that happen? Dude, I just want some fucked up dude to just go to
just
fucking town.
His crinkly, leathery balls.
A head of hair. Just flop around.
I want that, and I want all that baggage. Anyway, okay. So.
So, honestly, I don't care what a guy looks like as long as he's emotionally terrifying.
Like, terrifying. Like, he could kill me, but he won't because I'm so hot. Okay.
Little bird.
Oh, okay, are you going to guess or...
Okay, maybe it'll help you guess if you know who the woman is.
Okay.
The woman is Cher.
The brother is Danny Aiello.
Is it Sonny?
No.
This person, you're going to lose your shit because he's so fucking hot in this. He's a very here's the thing. He's a passionate performer.
Oh my
Anything
God.
He's in, he gives 110.
Oh, no.
Better.
Why can't I remember his name?
I don't know. We're going to do a whole series on him.
We love him.
Cage.
Yes!
Nicholas goddamn Cage.
Yes, he's so good in this movie.
He's hot.
He's really hot.
And he's smoldering. He takes her to opera, and he's smoldering the whole time. He's filled with so much passion and rage.
Look at this face. He's hot.
Oh.
He's hot. He's hot. He's hot.
And he falls in love with her.
Don't tell me that you don't think that's hot.
I'm not saying that it's not hot.
You also should see this movie. It's a very good movie.
I'm not going to say it.
Colin doesn't like it.
It's a really good movie.
Okay, so Moonstruck stays on the list.
Moonstruck stays on the list. Say anything.
Stays on the list.
It's not a rom-com at all. It's a romantic.
Isn't the proto? Isn't that what everyone? I don't know. I never saw it. I'm not into rom-coms.
I never saw it either, actually. I never saw it.
But that's the one. That's the fucking one that everyone points to, isn't it?
There's one scene in it that feels like it's out of a rom-com.
Okay.
The story itself is a drama about a very smart girl who has been, like, been socially sheltered and spent all her time with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And this young guy who's, like, a solid dude, but, like, kind of never has a moment to shine. But he realizes, like, the way he can shine. I'm making him sound like Spoiler.
So it is. So it is. It hinges on the
love story.
It hinges on the meet cute. What makes it a rom com? So there's a meet cute. There's a breakup and reuniting in the rain. Or yeah, what is like?
What I think what Ryan was driving at is that it's not comedy enough to be a rom com.
Yes, there's comedic moments, but it's not a comedy. It's the tone of it. Like, would you call, and I know this is jumping in the future, but I didn't put it in my notes, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Is that a romantic comedy?
So I would call that an existential crisis comedy.
Interesting, because I would call it a romantic drama, because romance is the central plot.
We can still keep existential crisis in that.
Oh, yeah, it's a romantic existential drama, crisis.
Romantic drama. Crisis.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's the tone. So, like, the end, and we're going to get to Jerry Maguire, which is another one that I don't think belongs in here necessarily. The end of Some Kind of Wonderful, yes, they're together. That's great. But it's just like these are two people who are choosing to be together. Mm-hmm. Not like it's not happily ever after. It's not like smiling into the credits. It's not jumping forward 3 years and they have kids. It doesn't end with a wink and a smile. It ends with like The Graduate. The Graduate is The Graduate a romantic comedy? There's comedic moments.
The Graduate is every kind of movie.
Yeah.
But The Graduate not, it was before
has a hilarious Zoom wipe. Where a little dot goes around a gorilla's face at one point.
That's true. There's a lot going on. They go to the strip club. There's that whole sequence, which
the
is
the movie's
just,
fascinating.
It's a fascinating film, but so rom-com, are you saying I don't know that.
Are
it
you
is.
Going to move to take Say Anything off of this list? Do you have enough alts to fill the list?
I
if
think
we,
I'm looking at a list right now, and I
only
think,
have two great alts, two that are like bad omissions, and then I have several from Ryan's personal 80s vault. Like,
okay.
And I'll name check one of them because I've talked about it on the show before, but Valley Girl is better
than... I saw
than,
it on here, on this
yeah.
list.
Yeah, it's better than all of these as a rom-com. But does it belong on an ultimate list? No, because it's a little scene movie. It's a cult classic. The people who know it love it, but it doesn't belong on there.
Right.
So...
Can Earth Girls Are Easy make its way onto this list? Pretty bad film.
But it is a classic rom-com.
Yeah.
Let's get through the last one on this list.
Princess Bride.
Fine.
Really? I don't think
it's a comedy.
Rom-com.
Its central plot is a romantic plot.
I guess I just, the way I think of, I don't know.
I'm right there with you. Cause I feel like if it is a romantic movie, it is a romantic movie third. That it is,
it's like fantasy-ish.
It's like a fantasy adventure movie first. A comedy second, and a romantic movie third.
You want them to skip over all that kissing stuff?
Yeah,
you want to. You're saying?
You're a little friend
no,
savage.
No, not at all. I think that's actually what the movie presents, and then like we have to like the romance is at the end of it.
I think the romance is the heart. Oh, please.
No.
The romance is everything.
Yeah.
It's the heart of it.
It's the impetus of the whole thing. Everything happens because Wesley loves Buttercup.
Yeah, and
I guess
Fred Savage may not be ready for that at the beginning, but he learns to love it. He begs Columbo to read him the kissing scene by the end of it.
I will allow it because I love the movie so much.
I thought you were going to say because we've retconned it to make it that grandpa
is Columbo.
Which I love because Columbo had no children.
He just has a grandpa.
He just has a grandchild.
Okay, so then what are your alts that we want to slot in?
So how many slots do we have?
Okay, we have two slots.
Two
okay.
for sure. And then Mannequin is...
Yeah, Mannequin, and we could cut some things if we come up with better ones. But my two that are just like, oh my God, so obvious. The first one is like the most obvious thing I've ever heard in my life. And it is a film called When Harry Met Sally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that could go all the way.
It may.
It is a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you have any from your list, Kelly, that you like? I don't want to be just, you know, taken over.
Let me see here.
I mean, you don't want to take over, but this sort of is the Ryan Mogi SDS takeover.
Yeah, you're allowed
okay,
to.
Okay, another one.
To.
And then this is one I feel like, again, you guys may not have seen, but when you see it, you will text me and be like, hey, that was a really good rom-com.
Okay.
And it's actually kind of a sexy rom-com. Ooh. And it's a film called Bull Durham.
Yes, I love that movie. All
right, I don't know this movie.
Okay, Colin, do you want to pitch it while I write it down?
So, Tim Robbins is a young, dumb, full of cum, minor league
that
baseball
is,
pitcher.
I think, literally in the script.
That is his character bio in the script. And Kevin Costner is this old, over the hill, been there, done that, minor league catcher. Mm-hmm. And the reason they keep him on the Durham Bulls is because he's kind of a kingmaker for young pitchers. You know,
okay.
Like they bring all the young, dumb, full of cum pitchers to pitch for this catcher, and he, you know, gets them to the show. He has this great reputation for bringing boys to the show. So this is his new assignment, is Tim Robbins.
And maybe his last assignment is part of it, too. So it's like, it's a kind of a tough time for a Kevin Costner catcher.
And it starts with this meeting. Like, they sort of allude to, like, the meeting in the manager's, the general manager's office that, like, Costner thinks that he might be getting called up again, because we learn later that he actually was in the show. He's been to the show. Oh, and all the balls are white. That was the best.
And they carry your bags for you. Mm-hmm. He breaks your heart in this movie.
Oh, it's so good. Kevin Costner could play a baseball player. It's a thing.
It is crazy how good he is at it. You would think he's like a baseball player. But no, he's better than a baseball player.
Is he really into baseball or something?
I don't know.
But so anyway, then along comes Susan Sarandon. And
I saw her on the cover.
Mm-hmm. She is probably...
Thanks.
No, I know you love Crash. Kelly,
what
she is?
Wait, Crash, isn't that
the James Spader movie? Just accept it.
Oh, first of all, okay. I do not.
How did you
love
forget
that
you
movie?
I bring it up more than I do.
I bring it up a lot because it scarred me for life, especially the scene where that dude fucks that girl's scar.
Okay, but my point is, this is the sexiest Susan Sarandon.
Mm-hmm.
She is wearing like A-line skirts and tops that like showcase her décolletage, and she's speaking with like a smoky accent. Mm. And her thing every year, which is kind of complimentary to Kevin Costner's thing, is she picks a baseball player on the Durham Bulls to mentor. And her style of mentorship
is banging it out.
Ooh, baby.
But she does make them better players.
She's got a magic snatch.
She really does.
Home run, baby.
Whereas Kevin Costner has a magic mitt, she's got a magic mitt of her own.
Nice.
My goodness.
Yeah, so then it becomes this whole butting heads thing between Costner and Sarandon as to who's going, and I believe his name is Crash, right?
Yeah,
Tim Robbins' character is Crash?
Crash Davis, yeah.
So, like, who's gonna get Crash to the show? And in their bickering, they fall in love. So,
There's a Bull Durham speech that I would really love. I mean, we did already call you a really good actor tonight.
You're a really good actor.
I would love you to do the Kevin Costner speech. Would you be willing?
Is this the what's it like in the show speech?
No.
Oh, a different one.
It's the what he believes in. There's curses in it. Are you okay?
I can do curses.
Do you say F?
I say
it's
F.
It's actually C and P.
I say C and P.
You say
IRL, I say C and P.
It's this one.
It says continent?
You can take a second to prepare yourself. So
pussy?
This is in a scene where at one point Susan Sarandon...
What is this movie? Is this
a little. So Susan Sarandon invites both Crash and Kevin Costner, who also has a name, but don't worry about it. Crash and Kevin Costner both to her house. And she kind of said, inviting them there to like pick which one she's going to have an affair with.
Oh.
And Crash is like, let's do this. And he's like, threesome? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then
Crash wants it.
And then Kevin Costner is like, no, if you're choosing between me and this child, you are not the woman that I should be with.
Wow.
So I'm going to go. But by the way, let me tell you my philosophy before I leave. And this is what he said.
Well, I believe in the soul. The cock, the pussy, the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, that novels of Susan Satong are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve. And I believe in a long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night.
Whoa! And then, okay, and she is like, she's like having an attack at the moment. She just is like, oh. And then poor Tom Robinson is like, hey, are we doing this? Like, yes, I'm turned on now. So,
oh my,
but yeah,
God,
so it gets to stay.
I unhinged my jaw when you're reading that. I could not
just wait
that.
Till I make you watch
of
this
principles.
Movie.
Wow, 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 wow.
Okay,
wow.
So are there any other? We now have a full roster, but are there anybody? Yeah. Any of the ones that you guys have seen in your travels that you think should be like? Okay. There are ones I think are better than this, but I don't know that there are more important ones.
I don't know if this qualifies as a rom-com. I mean, I think to me it does, but I could also see that people would be like, no, it's not. And this might be just because I really liked this movie when I saw it. And so this is a favorite, and I don't mm-hmm. think it's a okay. winner. You know what I mean? But I loved the movie Romancing the Stone.
Oh, yeah. Let's replace Mannequin.
Because Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner are hot as fuck sure. in it. They're running around in the jungle all sweaty. And I feel like it is right?
No, it's a rom-com. It is more.
It's like adventure rom-com.
It's an adventure rom-com.
And like but the adventure is pretense.
So Pride.
Yeah. And this also is like, we don't really care why they're in the jungle. Like they just are.
Yeah. Just and she's a romance novelist. Like it's definitely a romance movie.
Mm. Yeah.
Before it's a drama or an angst fest or anything else.
And it's kind of poking fun. Having her being a romance novelist is like poking fun at.
Well, she can't find love in real life.
Right.
Too.
Well, she's a cat.
And he is a mercenary and he's hot.
He's and remember, she's like, she just gets dirtier and dirtier and less clothes. Like, she starts with like a jacket and like heels and tight and like nylons. And by the end, she's like bare legs.
Yeah.
And
her
like shirt.
Her shirt's all ripped and like only one button.
Oh, so sexy.
And the cover's really good too.
Okay. Are we
it
satisfied
is.
With
I'm
the 80s
at covers.
And can we move to the 90s?
I think Colin has
Colin, do you have one?
I have one. I'm not I've never ever thought of it as a rom-com until you talked about Coming to America.
Yeah.
And that made me think about the trickery and the like, oh, we do love each other after all aspect. Have you guys ever seen Brewster's Millions?
Yeah.
On Comedy Central over and over.
I don't know.
Another great baseball movie where he plays for the Bulls.
Yeah.
And I think they just use the leftover uniforms
Kevin
from
No, it's Richard Pryor.
Yeah. Richard Pryor, John Candy.
Who is his lady? I can't remember.
I don't know. I can IMDb it.
So I feel
I
like
remember
that,
the movie.
That puts the romance like a distant second to the
like would
to the comedy,
Soul
right?
Man count?
I never saw that one.
Kelly, do you want to tell Colin the plot of Soul Man?
Hold on. Is that the Tim?
It stars a gentleman named C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different movie. Hold on.
Okay, it's about a guy who
is... Are you
is...
thinking of The Ladies Man?
You...
Tim Meadows?
Is that what you were thinking? That's not the 80s? We'll get to it. It's on my list.
It's on the list.
One of the best romantic comedies of all time.
No, Soul Man is racist.
I've seen the cover of Soul Man.
Man
is racist.
See Thomas Howell. If you saw this on Comedy Central, I'm sure, Patrick.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I have.
See Thomas Howell, who's this very white boy, just graduated from UCLA.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know this
and
movie.
And he gets into Harvard Law. But his rich parents are like, no, we're not paying for your law school. Like, we paid for your undergraduate. We've paid you for your whole freaking life. Like, get over it. And he's like, what do you mean you're not going to pay for my law school?
So how's a white boy to catch a break?
No.
He takes pills that are... No, honestly...
He takes pills?
Yep. And honestly, if these pills existed, I might take one. I wouldn't take as much as he took.
Huh?
Wait, what do the pills do?
Self-tanning pills.
Oh, my God,
that's how they're invented. So he takes... But he overdoes. He takes too many self-tanning pills in order...
And then he becomes a senator? Or what happens?
No, he becomes
a Virginia senator.
Topical.
Yes! No, he becomes a black guy. And then while he's in school, and so he goes to Harvard
this
Law.
This is horrible.
And James Earl Jones is his professor. And then he falls in love with this woman who's a single mom. Who
all right,
is,
ding.
All right. Fair. Okay, 90s.
So Soul Man, we're keeping off the list. Brewster's Millions, I'm fine with keeping off the list. I just wanted to get an honorable mention.
No, that's
Soul
a good
Man
anime.
It's not a good movie, but it follows the plot. Let's not worry about it. It's not. It's racist. It's trying to not be racist, but it's like... It's like
it's
when
not trying hard enough.
Well, it's like any time, like it's like when men try to make a movie about how tough it is for women, or when white people make a movie about how tough it is for black people. It's like inherently condescending.
Sure,
Yeah. If like Kenya Barris wanted to reboot it right now, I would watch that. But I'm not really, you know. Anyway, that's for next week's topic. Questionable race politics episode. Okay, so 90s. The first one, we've talked about this. The movie is called My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah.
Interesting poll of calling it a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is...
not funny?
Well, it doesn't end with the couple getting together, which that's another question we haven't come up with yet.
Do they have to be together?
I don't...
for a rom-com. Not for a movie to be good.
Right. There is something that I am going to suggest for this decade that does not end with a couple together.
Okay. So then...
I also feel like it's an outside choice, but...
And I have one for later decades that also does that.
Okay, cool. So that's not important, so that's fine. It does... the lead character is not in a relationship that it... she's... it's like... it's from the perspective of the antagonist.
Okay.
So it's... if it was from the perspective of the best friend, then I think that calling it a rom-com and considering it in this world, I feel like it's just because it's Julia Roberts that she's here.
I just feel like there it could be replaced with another Julia Roberts vehicle.
All right, cool. We're taking it off.
Yeah, perfect.
Best Man. The Best Man. Are you guys familiar with this film?
No. I'm not familiar with
it
The Best Man.
It is one of a rash. And I shouldn't call it a rash. It's not a rash. It's a movie. I think New Line did it. But it's a an urban romantic, and I would call it a romantic drama, starring Taye Diggs.
Okay.
I believe, apropos of nothing... really, I don't have any proof. I feel like this is the diversity pick for 1990s. I feel like they were like, all of these are white people movies. Let's pick a movie with leads of color.
Yeah.
And this is what not they the one on. That I would pick.
Do you have an easy alt for that? Because I mean, if we can sub in another one, because otherwise these things are going to be just a wash of white people.
Yes.
Well, I think there's something we could replace it with.
What would you like to do?
I think How Stella Got Her Groove Back is more of a rom-com.
Oh, perfect. That is perfect.
And that's from 1998.
And it is also Taye Diggs.
There we go. Taye Diggs.
Yeah.
And I have some more of, because there was, especially New Line Cinema did a really good job of making, and this is before Tyler Perry was making like 3 or 4 black-focused movies a year.
Mm-hmm.
So there, New Line made a bunch of movies that I considered in the long list, and then I have a few that I would pitch for the 2000s.
Now, just to be clear, this is replacing The Best Man, or it's replacing...
oh,
I mean, I guess we're cutting
we
them
have
both.
To cut them both. Okay. But yeah,
I think it should go in place of one of those.
Yes, yeah, it's in the same matchup. Okay, so the next one that is on this list is She's All That, which is the Rachel Lee Cook, Freddie Prinze Jr. There's a hacky sack scene that I am so glad exists. It probably belongs in not another teen movie, but it's in this movie, and it makes me really happy.
Without She's All That, there could not be another teen movie.
True.
Or not another.
Yes. Yep.
There could not be not
I
another
think
teen movie.
It's kind of funny, and again, this is me being pedantic, and I don't have the job that the person who created this at EW.com does, but like, She's All That makes a Pretty Woman reference, so really you should have put Pretty Woman earlier in the... list when you read it top to bottom.
Mm, mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
But these were choices that were made that I was not a party to. never again. So She's All That. Yes, that is a romantic comedy. It's a bet. Turns out the bet. Now, is it the first time this plot has been used in a teen movie? No, but it is definitely the mainstream breakout of this plot. It is also
And when we move on to the next movie, with whether or not plots are being recycled from previous movies or plays or whatever is going to come up right away. So I don't think we can hold that against
it. Is also anything. Yeah, and it's not my personal favorite, but it is an iconic moment.
Yes.
The genre. So I'm keeping it if you're down.
Yes. I'm down.
All right, the next one is another teen comedy from the 90s, and that is 10 Things I Hate
About You.
Love that
it's
movie.
Pretty great.
Yeah, me too.
Pretty freaking great.
This is like the first one as I was reading down the list, because I'm not very good at the 80s ones, that I was like, yeah.
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 I mean,
yeah.
Patrick, do you want to do the 10 things? Since I got a monologue, do you want to do the 10 things poem?
Okay.
Sure, I'll do the 10 things
and you
poem.
Cry about at the part where she says, make me cry. Just so you know.
All right, great, great.
If you don't cry at that point, you'll have to do it over.
Oh, my God. Like, I cry.
Your voice just has to break.
It just has to sound like
I've seen you fake cry. You're fine.
Okay, great.
You're a good little actor. Just because we didn't tell you were right before we started, like we did with Colin, you're fine. You're great.
It is too late for that.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Woo! You're the Freddie Prinze Jr. of our group.
I hope that font is big enough. I just picked the first thing.
I hate the way you talk to me. I hate the way you cut your hair. I hate the way you drive my car. I hate it when you stare. I hate your big dumb combat boots and the way you read my mind. I hate you so much it makes me sick. It even makes me rhyme. I hate the way you're always right. I hate it when you lie. I hate it when you make me laugh. Even worse, when you make me cry. I hate it when you're not around. And the fact you didn't call. But mostly I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even close. Not even a little bit. Not even at all.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
I will say, and I said this, and I don't know if anyone on mic heard it, but I felt guilty as soon as I said it. I called you the Freddie Prinze of our crew. I take it back. You, and this, anyone who knows me knows this is meaningful. You are our JGL.
I'll take
wow.
it.
I will. It's real.
I will take it.
You're also a little bit of our Tom Hanks, because that's our next one. Sleepless in Seattle.
Gotta stay.
Now, it's gotta stay.
It's gotta stay.
It is a different kind of one because yes. they don't meet.
I know.
It's more classic of a film, the uh-huh. style of film. And they even reference Affair to Remember. Like, it has a very throwback vibe. But it launched, like, a huge bit of that genre. So
yeah.
it can't go anywhere.
Totally.
All right. Speaking of things that are more culturally important than necessarily enjoyable as films, film called Pretty Woman, mm-hmm. starring Julia Roberts and Richard Gere.
Mm-hmm.
I was forbidden from watching this film as a kid.
Really?
Because prostitute?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Which, and then I saw it. And then I like went to my friend's house and like watching her TV, and it was like a whole secret thing where I like couldn't tell my mom.
Right.
She was right. This movie is not for children.
No, even close.
It's not. And it's not even like, because it's not like I couldn't, sex is fine. But the dynamic here is problematic all along. And then George Costanza shows up.
Really?
Right.
And well, he's a creep.
It's Jason Alexander, not actually playing George Costanza.
Oh.
No. George, this guy has way more panache than George. This guy's not as much of a loser. But he is a jerk. And he's very mean.
He's
to
a
Julia
rapist.
Robert.
He tries to.
He does try to rape
her. He does
Julia
try
Roberts.
To rape her. Oh.
But he thinks that because she's a prostitute that he gets to
oh,
do that.
Oh, sure. Because she's property. So.
Yeah. So it's a, it's too adult for me at. Six.
Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah.
But, and so that has scarred me with this movie all along. Like, because it was one of the, there were very few things. Because one, my parents did not forbid me from much. Like,
yeah.
It was like, if I was interested, like, we would watch it together. We'd talk about it. This was one of the very few things I was forbidden from. And then I watched it without them. And then I was like, oh, they were right.
So wait a minute. Hold on.
So I have a weird thing with this movie where I'm not, that I'm not into it. It's just, I don't find it romantic. But
is
that
it
is
a comedy,
but it,
though?
And it is a romantic. I mean, they meet.
It, I do feel like it does qualify, and it is so culturally important that yeah. I feel like it would be nice if we could replace it with a different Julia Roberts movie.
But even like the other Julia Roberts movies of the time, we have like Runaway Bride, but Runaway Bride exists and is like its reason for being is because Pretty Woman already
right,
happened.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's just Pretty Woman. I think it's
and I think in My Best Friend's Wedding we could put in, but like that's not more of a rom-com.
What about Notting Hill?
That's a great pull, but that is a
2000s?
1999.
Oh, it's 1999. Oh. It's on my list to replace. So,
but also it couldn't have happened without Pretty Woman. So like it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Like she became so big.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's a culture. It's too a culture. Yeah. I sort of feel that way about Sleepless in Seattle. Like, mm-hmm. we could debate, because they really don't meet until the last scene of the
yeah.
freaking thing.
I actually remember seeing it as a teenager and being like, what the fuck is this movie? Like, hating
yeah.
it.
So, like, I think Sleepless in Seattle and Pretty Woman have to stay because they're too important
yeah.
to the culture.
Yeah, it's like the Dallas Cowboys and the Atlanta Braves. Like, they're going to the playoffs. It's a thing. Let's just, you know.
I hate the Braves.
They went to the playoffs a lot at the time that.
I know.
Pretty Woman was in
They're
theaters.
Doing
there were
chops.
So
I'm not interested.
Yeah. Many rom-coms in the 90s.
Holy yes. Okay. Let me finish
yeah,
the
let's,
last
let's,
two
let's,
and
let's
see if we want to
yeah.
if we want to remove any more.
Okay.
So the next one is Jerry Maguire. And
cut it. It's not a cut.
Gotta go. Gotta yeah. go. Gotta go.
Yeah. I'm so glad you guys are with me. And then Four Weddings and a Funeral. It's a tough one because it is like it's one of those ones that culturally is a touchstone.
Never seen it.
I've also never seen it.
Is that the one?
It's
no,
Hugh
it's not
Grant
the one with Alan Tudyk, is it?
On it.
No.
What's that one? Death at a Funeral. That's what I'm thinking.
That's a very different film.
Yeah. Okay. Never saw it then.
Four Weddings and a Funeral. Structurally, it's interesting because it's set, like, it does time jumps because it's like four weddings and then a funeral. Mm-hmm. Or it's like three weddings, a funeral, and then a wedding.
Oh, these aren't just five events scheduled at like one banquet hall over the course of one day?
That'll be a That'd much be different, better movie.
That was always my assumption.
It's not no. one very busy afternoon. It's
people- we quintuple booked.
So it's like, people- what do we do? The romance is Hugh Grant and Andie MacDowell.
I mean, at
there
this point.
There is a romance. I would,
I think there are other ones that could fit
okay,
better.
Yeah. I'm cutting it.
Cool.
Okay, so, we need to get another three at least,
yes.
right?
I think we can.
All right. Yeah. Sure. I have many pitches.
Okay.
Because I think the 90s had a lot of options. One, I would say, if we're going to stick with Andie MacDowell, I think Groundhog Day.
I was just going to say Groundhog Day.
Are you guys down
for
with
sure?
That?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
one of those that totally. We don't consider a romantic comedy because it's a male lead.
But it 100% but it is.
Yeah, totally is.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have another one? Or because I could
no,
like
keep
seven.
Going, keep going.
Okay. While You Were Sleeping.
Yeah,
oh, while you were sleeping, it's incredible.
While you were sleeping, while,
oh,
you're sleeping.
While you were sleeping, could go all the way.
Yeah,
it while you were sleeping, really,
oh,
really could.
Sandy B was paired with some eyebrows like the coast, man.
Yeah, yeah. She's not.
No, she's not with him.
In my heart, everyone is paired with those eyebrows.
No. She thinks she wants to be with him.
She loves Peter Gallagher just as much as she does in the first act of that movie.
I know, but Bill Pullman is really hot in it.
Yes,
he is.
Everyone's hot in that movie, dude.
Everyone's so hot in that movie. Sandy B,
and it is funny,
dude.
Young, I mean, Sandy B is still fucking gorgeous to this day. But young Sandy B is like fucking
Practical Magic Sandy B.
I get that. I think each of us probably have a favorite moment. For me, it is definitely Speed.
What's
she Speed is Sandy so fresh faced yeah. still and so cute, and she's like gonna drive the little bus. Like, it's great.
Mine is smoky
Demolition
bar
Man.
Sweating eating crawdad Sandy B.
Forces of Nature.
A Time to Kill.
Oh,
I don't know what
Time
to Kill.
She's very sweaty.
She's so sweaty in that bar.
Well, and she doesn't get laid.
No, she doesn't, because McConaughey is like, I got a blonde wife.
He loves his wife.
Ugh.
I remember reading it.
How could you love your wife if Sandy B's there?
You couldn't. You would have to stop.
How dare you love your wife?
Yeah.
She's very young. It's funny.
Can that please be the name of a movie someday? How dare you love your wife?
Kevin Hart would do it.
Okay, so also on my list is a film that if this doesn't get put in the omissions pile, it's moving over to Mogi Mentions, which is a segment you guys, that's coming up at the end of this.
Mogi Mentions.
It's called Gross Point Blank.
Oh, that is, Gross Point Blank is
I've never seen that movie.
Pretty perfect.
So good.
It's really good.
I know that I've said I'm making you guys watch a bunch of these movies.
Uh-huh.
But Kelly, like, you would genuinely enjoy this film. It's a great mashup.
Really?
Of a hitman story and like a hometown hero story and like just straight quality comedy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
like the romance is quality. Like Minnie Driver and John Cusack have great chemistry, but the jokes are just good.
Right.
That's awesome.
It's got like solid just like interpersonal jokes, and then also like the sort of slingshotting back between like the hitman genre and like just normal mundane
everyday
shit.
Now we only have one slot here.
Okay.
So are we willing to fill it with Gross Point, or should we? I have other options, and I think Colin has some options.
And I've got one that I want to bring up for the 90s, and I can see it in your notebook, Chasing Amy.
Is that a wrong? We've decided you don't have to end up together.
They don't have to end up together at the end, and they do not.
It is an alt rom-com, and I think we should make room for alt indies in our bracket.
All right, so let me say my other ones, which I'm okay because we need House Stella because that's a little different,
right?
You've got Mail on here.
Yeah,
it is a classic.
I think it's a classic.
Wedding Singer. Again,
something
that I feel like is overlooked because it's a male lead, but that's
you know
a
what?
Rom-com.
It is a rom-com. Yeah. And I remember being obsessed with that
movie. That was the invention of rapping granny.
When he's on the plane, is that what you're...
Yeah. I was sitting with my dad and my dad started crying.
Have you guys seen... I know that he's like whatever he is now, but he just released a stand-up special.
Yeah,
which is shockingly like better than I thought it would be.
When he tries, he's great.
Yeah, it's
Sandler's a classic.
And then at the end, he does like a tribute to
Chris Farley,
which is like really sad. And at the end, he sings a song to his wife that's like an updated version of "I Want to Grow." Thanks for growing old with me or something.
Oh, it's very.
And
sweet.
I was like, and he's like kind of getting a little teary. And then at the end, he like says to the audience, like, And to you guys, like, thanks for growing old with me.
Oh, Adam.
And I was like, dude, what? Also, he looks so good. He's 51. He looks so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he takes lots of vacations and gets paid millions of dollars.
I mean, I just mean, like, he looks like, he looks true. Young. He doesn't look like, I don't think I would bang him, but he looks young. Yeah.
But I mean,
well,
does he
you
look-
are engaged to be married.
But I would bang the hound.
Okay, I believe so what you said was, I would let the hound destroy me.
Yes.
Say all my things? Okay, I didn't say Notting Hill. It's definitely, if we were doing a 60-14 bracket.
Sure.
But I'm okay with it not going. I think, yeah, if we're putting Chasing Amy in, now that means that we are not making room for The Wedding Singer. Are we okay with that?
Shit, I loved that movie.
I would love to put them both. These are what we got.
Okay.
How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Uh-huh.
Chasing Amy.
Okay.
She's All That.
Okay.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, man.
Okay. Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, man.
Right.
Pretty Women.
Okay.
Groundhog Day, While You Were Sleeping.
Man, okay. That's rough. The 90s were good.
Yeah. I know, and it's hard because the ones that are not personal favorites, like She's All That is not a personal favorite. It will not win any things for me, but it is landmark.
Same for A Pretty Woman. I like personally, I want A Pretty Woman to go in place of Wedding Singer.
Well, so here's the thing. I think that we are holding Pretty Woman on there a little bit in our collective generational deference to the baby boomers.
Are you saying fuck those baby boomers? Because guess what? Our economy sucks because of them.
Yep.
Toss it.
Yeah. Toss it.
Sandler, the best baby boomer there ever was, is back in.
First name, last name.
He's Gen X.
Okay, it was so funny. On the phone with my mom, like, the other day, I was getting frustrated because we were talking about the State of the Union and the state of the country. And I was just like, you know what? Anyone who owns a house, fuck them.
I love that. Yeah.
I was like, they own houses so that I can't own a house. I don't care.
And they're doing it to me, Mom.
I know. And she was very nice about it considering she's been a homeowner for like before I was born my whole life. So, or maybe when I was like two. But anyway, she's been a homeowner for longer than I've known her almost. And she was very nice to me about it. But I was like, they own homes. I don't want to hear what they have to say.
So if this is a line that we want to run with, I think we could make the same argument for Sleepless in Seattle.
And replace it with...
What do you got?
Gross Point Blank is not on here yet.
We haven't got...
And we haven't gotten... I mean, honestly, I would do, if we were doing like a clean kind of swap, I would say You've Got Mail should swap for Sleepless in Seattle. Because if we
end up... I think Gross
up,
Point Blank is a better movie than either of them, though.
Right.
Yes, but we're not talking... I'm keeping my favorites off the list because I have favorites.
Right.
But Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks rom-com is a quintessential part.
Right.
And otherwise, we don't have... Meg Ryan's not on here at all. But, and to say we're going to do a whole bracket with no Meg Ryan movies?
Well, wait, she's on for the 90s, right? Or 80s. She's not on... There's
When
Harry
Met Sally. I'm sorry.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're right.
All right. Well, let's...
Sleep in Seattle and putting in... I mean, if we do it, we do it. Are we doing it?
Cut that. I don't see the point of cutting that and putting in You've Got Mail because it's the same movie.
Oh, no. We're talking about Gross Point Blank, I think.
Okay.
Is our next. The ones that I have are that haven't gone on Gross Point Blank and Notting Hill have not, and You've Got Mail and Notting Hill. Then I'm saying if we're cutting because of taste, She's All That.
Well, yeah, this is our list.
She's All That first matchup is 10 Things I Hate About You,
which it will fall immediately to.
So are you guys down?
But I love She's All That. Not over 10 Things I Hate About You. Ugh, this is such a conundrum.
All right, EW.com.
I can't imagine what it was for Moki to do this all day.
This is harder than it seems.
Okay, so I'm down for getting Gross Point Blank on here.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So are we cutting She's All That, 10 Things I Hate About You, Sleepless in Seattle?
I say Sleepless in Seattle. Just because...
Fuck the boomers.
Fuck that movie. They don't ever... They don't... Come on. There's got to be some, like, at least heavy petting.
I want to see butts touching.
I also love that you haven't seen Gross Point Blank. And no. You just trust us that much.
I trust you. I need there to be, like, a mac out that's, like, there's also, like, some tongue.
Mac out with a crack out. You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
maybe.
There's some Gross Point Blank mac out.
Okay, good.
They mac out in the
halls of the high school, right?
Well, they do that, and then they go into the nurse's room. That's where they put it in. And then they come back out, and then there's shooting and stuff because he's a hitman. There's a lot going on. All right, 2000s. We are at 57 minutes.
Oh my God.
We love you guys.
This may be a two-parter.
Is this the end of the first part? Because we're halfway through.
Yeah. We're not halfway through because we have to go through the bracket.
Is it a three-parter?
So I think this is what we do. We say, we'll tune in next week for the 90s.
The 2000s
and the 2010s. Right?
All right.
All right.
Wait, do we do that? Because it's been an hour.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.